Amen. Before I begin the sermon today, I want to get you updated on some news that came out last week. And many of us were blindsided because it came in on our news cycle, and we heard that the potential of this 13 million member United Methodist Church might split in two. And there was a group of 16 people who represented diverse groups within the church that all came together with a proposal, and they called it the Diverse Groups Agree on a UMC Separation Protocol. Now, this is not yet at the stage of a proposal. It's not something that could be voted on. In fact, it needs to actually, we have something that's in front of us, which was voted on at the special conference in 2019. And for this to go forward, the other one has to be repealed. So the truth of the matter is, really no one knows yet what's going to transpire on May when we come to our general conference. Now, last year at the annual conference, we voted for delegates to represent each of the conferences, and they will be there to make these decisions going forward. So we want to pray for those people. We want to keep them in our hearts and prayers as we come into this time. I want to let you know that I spent Friday and Saturday interviewing candidates for provisional ministry as elders in the United Methodist Church. And I have to applaud those people because they're coming in and they're making commitments during a time of uncertainty because they don't know what the grounds are going to look like. So in our worship together, before we started asking any of the questions of the candidates, we had worship time, and they talked about a time in Israel's history when Jeremiah actually purchased land during the time that they would be going into Babylonian, exile, thank you, into Babylonian exile. But God wanted him to purchase this land as a future promise that one day again, properties will be bought and sold in Jerusalem. And so he did what God asked them to do. And really, that's what we as people of God need to do, is we need to listen to God and do what God asked us to do and be faithful in the process. And when decisions are made, hopefully they're made with love and compassion and respect. And we look for God's will to take place in the lives of his whole church, not just the United Methodist Church, but the whole of God's church. And so I join your prayers in that category. But one of the things in the protocol was that the traditional plan would be repealed, and that the whole of the United Methodist Church as it stands now would take away the items that are in our Book of Discipline regarding same-sex marriages and things of that nature, and that the Wesleyan Covenant Association could, or actually there could be a new Methodist traditional group that would spring forth from that, and that the United Methodist Church would pay this new group from the different churches $25 million, and that they then would have no other holds on any of the assets of the United Methodist Church. Now, as far as clergy are concerned, all of our pension things are all intact. They're provided by Westpath, and they all stay intact no matter who you decide to go with. And for me, many of you know where I stand on issues regarding this, but I would say that I fall more along the traditional line, because I feel personally that it's not my role to change Scripture. And when Scripture is clear on an issue, it's my job to profess and to proclaim it. And yet I understand about biblical interpretation and things of that nature, and I love people who are opposite of my view on this issue, and I pray for them as they pray for me. When I was in this meeting on Friday and Saturday, I had reason and opportunity to talk to people who are on both sides of this issue, and we talked about these things in love and compassion. and in God's grace. And one of the things that I was talking to a gentleman who is high up in the Wesleyan Covenant Association, and he told me, he says, I think the reason why the Wesleyan Covenant Association is looking and would be adopting this plan is because they feel like this issue is not going to go away. And so it's going to continue on, and it's going to exasperate the resources of all of us. And so wouldn't it be better to just split and love one another and be able to do things together when we can do things together? And what would happen is each church would make a decision whether or not they want to stay in the United Methodist Church as it will become, or that they could go and become part of a new Methodist foundation, which will receive monies from the parent church, but then sever. So for instance, if we were to make that kind of decision here and we were going to stay with the church, we wouldn't have to do anything. We wouldn't have to vote on anything. We'd just stay. And you would get a pastor that would go along those lines that the church now states. I probably wouldn't be here because I would go to somewhere where it'd be more conservative. But if the church were to be conservative in their approach, if the church decided that they wanted to go with the new, then you can make that decision and you keep your property, you keep all your assets, and you have no further claims upon the United Methodist Church. So no one knows what's going to happen next. If you want to get more clarity on this, you can go to our website, WPA, which stands for Western Pennsylvania Annual. So it's WPA UMC. So it's Western Pennsylvania Annual Conference. And you can click on Diverse Groups Agree on United Methodist Separation Protocol. Also on Monday, and I don't know exactly when, it could be 9 o'clock, it could be 10 o'clock, you should be able to go to that website. There will be a live stream about some of these issues. And so I invite you to go ahead and do that. But I wanted to be fair to you, I wanted to let you know where I fall in these issues and just to let you know that. But be not dismayed. Right now in the United Methodist Church, what our doctrine says is that we minister to all, and all means all, that we minister to everyone. And that everyone is open to communion in our church. Everyone is open to grace in our church. Everyone, and that's where I fall too. The issues are regarding who will become leaders within the church, and that's been the big issue. And so pray about that. Pray for the church. Pray for wisdom and pray for God's will, whatever that is. And so that whoever's on the side that's not in agreement with God's will, that we might come to that, whether it's me or whether it's someone else, that would be our prayer. So I just wanted to let you know what was going on. These things came up for all of us without us understanding that they were even being addressed. So would you please stand with me for the hearing and the reading of this morning's gospel message that comes to us from Matthew's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 17. Hear these words. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At the moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of grace and God of love, God of promises and God of promises kept, no greater promise has ever been given than the promise of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. And by baptism in his name, Lord, we have eternal life in you. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We give you thanks for the gift of your Holy Spirit that comes in our baptism. And we give you thanks for your word. For your word brings life. Your word brings understanding. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would take these words today, the words that we have heard in Scripture today, and emblazon them to each and every one of our hearts, that we might be transformed by these words and be and become new creations in you. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For this in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. So this is the first Sunday that follows the Epiphany. And we always call it the Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And we celebrate that in the church every year. And we celebrate it at the beginning of the year because it's very important. Jesus comes to the baptismal waters. And John says, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. But Jesus says, no, let this happen so that all righteousness might be fulfilled. Now, John's baptism was a baptism of water. He would baptize people in water, and he would say to them, repent, metanoia, change your mind is what that means. The Greeks have the word metanoia. It's like a military command, metanoia, and it meant an about face. You turn around in the other direction. Metanoia, change your mind. So John preached the gospel of being prepared to receive Christ by changing your mind and being ready for the gift of God. And all of a sudden, he's broadcasting to all these people so that they would be ready for the Christ. And here's the Christ in their midst coming to the waters of baptism. And John is really confused. This is not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to baptize me. After all, he told the Pharisees, I baptize with water, but there's one that comes after me who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that's Jesus. And Jesus is coming, and he wants to come and be baptized. The baptism of repentance. The baptism of changing one's mind. And you think, well, Jesus is God. He's the incarnate God in the flesh. God made flesh. He's here to live amongst us and show us the way, the truth, and the life. Why does he need to change his mind? Why does he need to change his will? But Jesus says, let this happen so that all righteousness might be fulfilled. And so Jesus takes his perfect will. He submits himself to the baptism of water. And basically, by doing that, he says, Father, not my will, but yours be done. He's saying, I'm giving up my will, and I want to take on your will. Now, here's the crazy thing. Jesus is God in the flesh. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that all show up in this particular reading, they're all of the same mind. They're all of the same will. Jesus comes to earth to save the earth, to save the people, to save us from our sins. I really enjoyed Holly's sin. And all the red stuff and all that other stuff went away, right? She washed it with the water, and that sin went away. Now, I don't know if this was the original sin, because she might have put sin on here, and then she added more sin over top of it, and she washed away that sin. But the sin didn't wash off. And I said, leave that there for a minute. She goes, what are you going to do with it? I said, I don't know. But I think sometimes sin remains with us, right? Sometimes we don't want to let go of sin. Sometimes we confess this sin, but not that sin. Have you been guilty of that? I have. When I was a kid, I was brought up in the Catholic Church, and I would go to confessional because you couldn't take communion unless you went to confession. So I'd go to confession, and it would go like this. Father, Father, it's been so long since my last confession, I accuse myself of, and I'd give a list. And I had a list. It was written down. I had a list of all my sins. They were the same sins I confessed the week before. I kept doing them. And I had a list of all these sins, and I just kept coming and get, you know, and you would get absolution. The priest would say, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son. Go say three Our Fathers and five Hail Marys, or five Our Fathers and, you know, and that would be your penance, and you'd go and you'd do that. When I was older, and once in college, and I'm one day I was in the confessional, and I said, Father, it has been like so many years since my last, because I thought I was okay, and I had no sin to confess, right? But I thought, you know, something in me said, you know, you better go confession. So I went to confession, and I gave my list. I still have my list. Now, it wasn't written down, but I remembered the list. And it went like this. I hit my sisters. And this priest said, you hit your sisters? Now, I'm like, you know, 18, 19. No, I didn't hit my sister. You just said you hit your sister. I said, well, that was like before. I did that a long time ago. Well, why are you telling me that now? If God has forgiven you, you're forgiven. Oh, well, I always said that. He said, tell me your current sins. Okay, let me think. Father, I don't have any sins. We all have sins, son. You must have some sin. And I'm like, no, I can't think of any. He says, then you have the sin of pride. And he says, I absolve you from your sin of pride. I was reading about this one little boy in a country, Tanzania. And we were down in Washington, D.C. for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and the day after that. And we were staying in this Hilton Garden Inn, and it was right beside the Tanzanian. It was either the embassy or the chancery, and I don't know which one it was. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. We should go in there, but it was dark. No one was there on New Year's Eve. No one was there on New Year's Day. But this reading that I read was about an 8-year-old Tanzanian boy who was going down to the river where they were holding a service. And the pastor there was in the river, and he was doing baptisms in the river. Come down to the river to pray. And here he is, he's doing these baptisms. And he was saying, minister was saying, die to yourself and live towards Christ. Isn't that the words in the Baptist church, daughter, that you were raised in? Die towards self and live towards Christ. We take on a new spirit. And so this little boy went in, and he goes to the baptist. Are you willing to die towards yourself and live towards Christ? Yes. Puts him in the water. The kid comes up. And he starts to say, I'm alive! I'm alive! I'm alive. He thought he was going to physically die. He thought he was coming there and purposely agreeing to physically die so that he might live towards Christ. Now that's faith. Okay? He was willing to die physically so that Christ would live in him and come up out of the waters. That's faith. That's what Jesus does at the baptismal water when he comes to John's baptism. And he says, Father, your will, not mine, be done. We see that repeated in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus takes the cup, now he doesn't have the cup, but he's saying, Father, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, the cup was the cup of suffering that he had to take. It wasn't like he physically had a cup there. It was metaphorical language. Father, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, you know what the cup was? The cup of redemption. It was the cup of his shed blood. Jesus knew what he was in for. And yet, in his human capacity, he needed the strength. Because he's fully God, but he's also fully human. It's going to hurt. Grace is free, but it has a cost. And Jesus paid that cost on the cross. He fully paid it for you and for me. And the truth of the matter is, every one of us needs it. No one comes to heaven on their own. We need to come by way of the cross. We need to come by way of baptism. We need to come by saying, I'm going to die to myself and I'm going to live to Christ. Take on that whole new creation. When I was first in seminary, I had a spiritual leader, Andrew Purvis, that told us, pick a verse, any verse in the Bible, but I don't want you searching for it. I don't want you looking for it. I want it to seize you. I want it to happen upon you. I want it to overcome you. I want it to inform you. So don't go looking for it, and I don't expect you to have it next week or the week after, but be vigilant, and as it occurs, you'll know. And so I was going through Romans, and I was reading in Romans, and I was reading where it says all of us fall short of God's glory. But praise be to God because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us life, and we have salvation in his name. And then it goes on in Romans 8 to talk about the gift of the Spirit that comes with salvation through the waters of baptism, and that we have this new life, that we get to live this new life in Christ. And I thought, ooh, surely it's going to come from here. But it didn't. And so I kept reading and reading. And when I was a kid, I had Jewish friends that I used to pray for them because I knew they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. And so I'm thinking, well, how can they be saved if they don't believe in Jesus Christ? If they reject Christ, how can they be saved? And so I used to pray for them so that they would receive Christ for themselves. And I got through all of these chapters in Romans, and then I got to the 11th chapter. And in the 11th chapter, it talked about how we are engrafted branches. Paul says to us, as you know, the Gentiles, don't think of yourselves too highly, because you are just but engrafted branches into the root of Jesse. In other words, salvation comes through the Jews. He says, right now, the Jews are blinded, so that the fullness of the Gentiles may take place. But one day, all of Israel will be saved. All of Israel will be saved. I'm like, glory, glory, hallelujah. I am so thankful. My prayers have paid off that one day all of Israel will be saved. My friends who are Jewish will be saved. I truly believe that. And then I turn the page. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I thought, ooh, therefore, I better make note of this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now it says, I urge you, my brethren. But Paul really meant all of us. Therefore, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Ooh, a living sacrifice. That means dying towards self and living towards Christ. Like that boy, that 8-year-old boy. Present yourself as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God. For this is your act of spiritual worship. In other words, that's what true worship is, giving ourselves back to God. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, don't follow the world's patterns. Don't follow the world's customs. Don't follow the world's mores. The world's customs and mores and patterns change all the time. But God's word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So Paul says, don't conform to those any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We do that through the Holy Spirit. And then he says these words. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. See, we find out that when we die to self through the waters of baptism and we receive God's Holy Spirit, when we yield to the Spirit in our life, and the Spirit's job, by the way, is to remind us of everything that Jesus ever taught us in Scripture. So in other words, the Scripture is a part of the component. And it says when we yield to that Spirit, we'll find out it fits me just right. Because God's will for my life is better than my will for my life. But sometimes we don't want God's will. Tony wants Tony's will. Tony wants what Tony wants. And I want to hold to that. I'm not willing to sacrifice that because I'm not sure what God's going to give me. I'm not sure. But I find out that when I submit my will to him and drop my will and take on his will, whatever that is, I'm blessed. It fits me just right. It's better for me than any plans I've ever had for myself. That's my prayer for us as the United Methodist Church. That's my prayer for us, for me, Tony Felici, for my family. That's my prayer for you, Holiday Park United Methodist Church, that you would remove yourself from the throne of your life and replace the throne, let Jesus sit on that throne by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. And allow the Spirit of God to inform you through reminding you of God's word, so that you might be able to test and approve what God's will for your life is. His good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. That little boy thought he was going to die, that Tanzanian boy. He came to those waters fully willing to give his life up because he trusted that God was going to give him a better life. And that's exactly what God does when we submit our bodies as living sacrifices. Don Scandrill said to me one time, I said, this is my life verse. He says, Tony, you know what the problem with living sacrifices are? I said, what? He says, they have a tendency to crawl off the altar. Because they're living. They know it's going to get hurt. But when we make a choice to present our lives as living sacrifices, God has a way of not only honoring that, but showing that is that's the best thing we've ever done for ourselves. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, God of promises and God of promises kept, you give us the promise of you, O Lord, the promise of your Holy Spirit. You already gave us your Son. He already did everything that was necessary for our salvation. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. The work is done. The price has been paid. Allow us to grow into that love. Allow us to grow into that grace. And allow us to submit ourselves to you as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. For you tell us in your word that that is our true act of spiritual worship. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask us to, in this second Sunday of the new year, to really use this new year by reaffirming our baptismal covenant. And so I'd like to lead us in that. And if you are willing, after that, you don't have to do it during the service, but if you want to come up and take the water from this font, you may just touch it. You may anoint yourself in the cross. You may put it upon your heart. You may just let it be in your hands and just feel the freedom that we have in Christ. But come to these waters and remember your baptism. Let us pray. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we're given new birth through water and the Spirit. Now, all this is God's gift. It's offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared in our own baptisms. We acknowledge what God is doing for us and in us, and we affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. So on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they might present themselves? If so, please say, I do. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace? And do you promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, please say, I do. According to the grace given you, then, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, please say, I will. Let us then join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments. Let me ask you, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day,
do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
I'm going to change my mind, and I'm going to invite you to this font as the Holy Spirit directs you. You don't have to come. But if God is prompting you to remember the waters of your baptism, you please come to this font. Anoint yourself with the water, say thank you, and return to your seats. But come as the Holy Spirit inspires.